Accession number 13110, Rule 1.
Mr. Beale, Rule 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Dunedin, in the South Island of New Zealand.
Were your parents New Zealanders?
My mother was Australian and my father was a Cornishman.
What did your father do for a living?
At that time he was a ganger on the road construction work.
Did you go to school in Dunedin?
I did, yes.
How old were you when you left?
I was 14 years of age when I left school.
So that would have been in 32?
Yes, roughly around about then, yes.
Did you get a job?
Beg your pardon?
Did you get a job?
Yes, I went on to a farm.
What were you doing when war broke out?
I was an apprentice bricklayer to a firm in Dunedin.
And what was your reaction to the news that Britain was at war?
Well, I didn't really give it much thought, you know. It wasn't until later when I started to digest, you know, what it was all about. I thought, well, it would be a good idea to volunteer for overseas service because, you know, sense of adventure, partly patriotism.
When would that have been that you volunteered?
That was in January in 1940.
How did you go about it, please?
Well, at that time, I think, that's right, we could apply in several ways. But the method I chose was to, I went to a post office, which you could do in those days, and just say you're volunteering for military service overseas.
Then what happened?
Well, they took all my particulars. I was asked what branch of the services I wished to go into, and I said the army, because at that time I was already serving in the territorial army as a dispatch rider. And the reply I got when I said I wanted to be a dispatch rider was that I'd be going in for the infantry. Well, I thought, oh, well, I'd apply later to get into the as a dispatch rider. But when I eventually got to camp, I would be given my basic training and I asked to see the CO and he asked me, you know, what I wanted to see him for. And I said, well, I told him I'd been trained as a dispatch rider. And then, well, he says, you can't be a dispatch rider, you're in the infantry. I thought that was pretty stupid as far as I was concerned. You know, I'd already had training for 2 or 3 years as a dispatch rider. And here they were, probably training dispatch riders elsewhere. And here's me being trained as a foot slogger.
Which unit did you go into?
I went into the 20th Battalion, 2nd NZDF. Infantry.
Did you stay in New Zealand?
No. I left New Zealand on the 10th of May, 1940.
How did you feel about leaving the country?
Oh, I was quite chuffed about it.
Did you know where you were going?
No, nobody knew.
What was the voyage like?
Very uneventful. Quite a large convoy of Australian troops we picked up as well on the way out. We got to within a day off Colombo when Italy entered the war. So that meant we found out later we were destined for the Middle East, for to join up with our comrades that were already out there with the previous contingent. So they had to rethink the whole operation out, and they turned around in mid-ocean and took us down to Cape Town, where they refueled and took on supplies and that. And then eventually took us up the west coast of Africa to England.
Where did you go to in Britain?
We went to Kent in Sittingbourne.
Was it summertime or the autumn? Yeah,
that was summertime, yes, it was May. At that time when we arrived, the Dunkirk veterans were coming back from Dunkirk by their thousands.
Did you see anything of them?
Oh, yes, yes. They were, of course, they were travelling all over the country in trains, you know, going to their various depots and that. But our role in this country was the threat of invasion by the Germans. So they decided to hold us here because, you know, to defend the beaches. And our particular beach was around Dover, around that area. And it was a sort of a mobile thing. We were stationed in Kent, and if there was any threat of invasion, we were to be rushed by transport to their various sectors of the coast, which it never eventuated, of course. The threat of invasion gradually died off. And
which particular part of the beaches at Dover were you situated at?
Well, nowhere in particular. They hadn't told us exactly where we were to be positioned, you know, to defend. It was just anywhere along that sector, you know, along the Dover sector.
So were you moving around a lot?
No. We were mostly all the time in Kent, around Sittingbourne, doing manoeuvres and that. But as I said, the threat of invasion died off, and
so you were a kind of mobile force, were you? Too?
Yes, we were a mobile force.
Where were your barracks, though?
Well, we were billeted out in Kent, various houses and that.
In Sittingbourne?
Yes, Sittingbourne, Kent, yes.
How did you feel about the danger of German invasion at the time? Did you think it was a reality?
Well, we were given to understand that it was a very serious threat of invasion. And of course, we were just waiting for the event to happen, which it never did, of course.
But you weren't defending your own country. You weren't defending New Zealand.
No.
Did you feel as patriotic as...
Oh, yes. Our ties with England, the mother country, was very close. You know, we felt if England was attacked, they were attacking New Zealand as well.
Were you a well-equipped unit?
No, not at that time. Poorly equipped, I would say. All we had was the small arms that we could carry, rifles, Bren guns, 2-inch mortars, that sort of thing.
Did you have enough Bren guns?
No. Everything was short supply those days. Even in our actions, you know, later on we were always poorly equipped in comparison with the Germans.
How many Bren guns to a company would you have?
About at that time, about 4.
How many do you think you should have had?
Well, at least double that.
Did you say anything to your NCOs and officers about it?
Well, there's nothing much you could say. It was just accepted, you know. We thought, oh, our voice would never be heard, you know. They must know what they're doing.
What was the attitude of the population of civilians in Kent towards the New Zealand troops?
Oh, they made us very welcome. You know, treated us very well.
In what way? Did they have you in their houses?
Oh, yes. Even on our route marches, they'd even come out of the pubs to offer you beer.
So they knew you were New Zealand troops?
Oh, yes.
What distinguishing marks did you have?
Well, when we weren't on manoeuvres, we always wore our, what they call the old lemon squeezer hat, with the three points on it. And that was our identity, more or less.
It was a cap, hat with
three points? No, it's a hat, a wide-brimmed hat. With a pointed 3 points on it.
So it's quite different from an Australian hat.
Ah, yes. The Australian hat was a slouch hat cocked up on one side.
Were there any Australians in the area?
Oh, yes. There was Australians with us.
With your unit?
No, not with our unit, but they were on the same ship, so naturally they were in England with us.
How did the New Zealanders and Australians get on with each other?
Very well indeed. Yes.
So there wasn't any rivalry?
Oh, no.
Did you see them in Kent?
Beg your pardon?
Did you see the Australian
troops? Oh, yes, we saw them everywhere, on leave and...
So you didn't have any brawls with them?
No. If it was any brawls at all, it was with the English.
Did that happen?
Oh, yes.
With the troops?
Occasionally.
Any particular British unit?
No. It was just something was said, you know, and that was started all off. Which the New Zealand or Australians didn't like. And it was used mostly in bars at the start when they had a little bit under the belt, you know. And
What type of things would they say?
Oh, you know, could be anything.
Did you get into any fights?
No. I was all for a peaceful life.
So what happened next to you?
Well, we were eventually shipped out from Newport Docks to the Middle East.
When would that
have
been?
That was a huge convoy at that time. It was about 83 ships in it. And the day before we were due to sail, Lord Haw-Haw said the simple country lads from way down under, leaving England to go to the Middle East, but he says, I'm afraid a lot of them will not get there, because we'd be waiting for them, meaning the submarines and that. But there wasn't one incident on the way out. One or two scares, but with the destroyers and cruisers dashing about, but whether or not there was any submarines sunk, we don't know.
Did you hear that Haw-Haw broadcast?
Yes, we did.
Did you believe it?
We all laughed. Because we had a powerful escort with us, you know, so we weren't worried.
Did you go through the Med or around the Cape?
No, we went back down the Cape again.
And can you tell me about arriving in Egypt?
Yes, we arrived in Egypt and at Suez, and we went directly to camp called Mahdi Camp.
Which month are we in now?
That was in January 41.
That you arrived in Egypt?
Yes. If my memory serves me right, I think, yes, January 41. We went under canvas at Mahdi, a huge camp out in the desert, more or less.
What were you doing in Egypt?
Well, a lot of parade ground stuff again, you know, drilling and rifle drill and all the rest of it. But we did do a few long route marches.
Did you have anything to do with the Egyptians?
Very little, no.
What was morale like in Egypt amongst the New Zealand troops?
Well, very high, actually. Because up to that point, we hadn't saw any action.
Were the New Zealand troops equipped with the same rifles as British troops?
Yes.
What was that?
The old Lee Enfield rifle.
303.
First World War rifles.
The 303?
Yes.
Did you go up to the front in the Western Desert?
No, we were mostly out on manoeuvres in the desert.
Can you tell me about going to Crete now, please?
No, before we went to Crete, we were shipped from Alexandria to Athens, to the Greek mainland, and because of the threat of the Germans breaking through the Balkans, which eventually took place.
Was it an uneventful voyage to Athens?
Yes.
Which ship did you go in?
I can't remember the name of the vessel we sailed in.
What happened at disembarkation?
Well, we went under canvas again, temporary, and after a couple of days we were entrained and taken up to the front.
Where was that?
That was up around Mount Olympus.
Did you get any kind of welcome from the Athenians, from the Greeks?
Oh, yes, the Greeks were marvellous people. They welcomed us. Couldn't do enough for us.
So you arrived in Athens in March, did you, or...?
Yes, March, yes. Around about the 10th of March, I think it was.
Which units were you in your battalion?
At that time, I was with the 23rd Battalion as a mortarman. I was in the 3-inch mortars as one of the team.
What did you have to do in the team? What was your job?
Preparing the bombs for prior to firing.
How did you do that?
By unscrewing the nose cap off and passing it in to the loader.
Why did you have to do that to the nose cap?
Well, to bear the percussion cap. Because it goes off by percussion, by hitting an object or hitting the ground, and it explodes.
This was a 2-inch mortar, was it?
3-inch.
What was the front like at Mount Olympus?
The pardon?
What was the front like at Mount Olympus? Can you describe what the area was like when you arrived?
Oh, it was very mountainous.
What positions did your unit take up?
Well, we took a position on the top of a high hill overlooking a valley.
Do you remember the name of the hill?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
What troops were on either side of you?
New Zealand troops. And the Australians... Oh, gosh, where were they? I'm not sure where they were, to be honest. They were to our left, I remember that. We're told that the Australians were on our left. But I can't remember the names of places in Greece.
So did you have to dig in?
No, we were on the open ground on the top of this hill. And eventually... contact was made with the Germans.
What do you remember about the first contact made with the enemy?
Well, they were coming across a stream, as I remember it, and we were firing our mortar. And we couldn't see what the effect was, but no doubt the shells were landing in the vicinity of the Germans. And and after we'd fired about a dozen rounds, the order was given to withdraw.
Was this at night?
No, afternoon.
So you couldn't see the target?
Not really, no, because the range was extreme range we were firing at that time.
What was the extreme range?
Oh gosh, I've even forgotten that now. probably a couple of thousand yards, I should say.
Was there any incoming fire against you?
No. It was a lot of small arms fire from both sides. That extreme range, I should say. No close close quarter fighting. It was all extreme range at that time. And why we were told to withdraw, we don't know. But apparently our position must have been too weak to hold them. The Germans must have been in greater strength, I think, and that's why they pulled us back. Although they were outflanking us, I should imagine.
How did you feel about the orders to withdraw?
Disappointed, I suppose.
Had you taken many casualties in your unit at that time?
Not that I know of, no.
What happened on the withdrawal?
Well, we had to do the march. It was a forced march all the way over Mount Olympus. A very grueling march, with no rest or anything, because the Germans were hard on our heels all the way. And we just marched until we got to the evacuation beach.
Could you see the Germans following you?
No. But we were told they were, very close behind us.
Did you have to abandon equipment?
Yes. All heavy stuff was left behind. All the trucks and that coming in were all destroyed. They were driven over ravines and then set on fire. Guns, 25 pounders, everything were destroyed. Even the 3-inch mortars. And all we went on board ship with was with rifles.
Do you think the Germans got any of the equipment intact?
Not that I know of. But what I saw, it was thoroughly destroyed by pickaxe and hammers and fire, everything.
Did you have to take part in any rear guard?
No. New Zealanders did, but not me in particular.
Was that because you were in the mortars?
No, simply because we weren't detailed for rear guard action.
Did you get any reaction from the Greeks about withdrawing?
No. They were just sorry to see us go, I think, they realised that